Our God's a good God, and He has promised abundance and wonder for us as a church for years and years. Go for it. You need it. For years and years. And He's talked about expanse. He's talked about our tent pegs being stretched out. He's talked about us being people that would be involved as an epicenter, that things would radiate out from here that would impact others. And this year, we really sincerely believe that the word for us this year is the big word, impact. And the whole idea of impact brings a whole lot of ideas and images to us in all sorts of way. The impact, the noun that goes with impact, is this the action of what it's one of the definitions from a noun, the action of one object coming forcibly into contact with another. We know the idea of impact, you know, and we see it happen. Car accidents, two vehicles impacting against each other. We see it now in rugby. Rugby, the guys are impacting each other like never before because they are hunks, they are huge, huge men now. Powerful, powerful men, and the impact of two, you know, 17, 18 stone guys who are muscle smacking into each other. You can hear it when you're up in the stands watching the game and they're down on the ground and one guy tackles another. You can hear the impact of it going on. Impact also, as a noun, comes, it's this idea of a marked effect or influence. The verb, very similar, come into forcible contact with or impact upon, i.e. having a strong effect on someone or something. We are called to be people of influence, therefore we need to be people who make a difference and we impact that around. So, I'd like to start off by some words that you think of when you think of the whole idea of impact. Change. Punch. Influence. Presence. Been too many presents this Christmas, isn't there? Is that a C at the end? Is it C-E?
Yeah, C-E.
Is it ever S-E? It's never, is it? Okay.
Impression.
I bunked a whole lot of school, by the way, when I was... Oh, sorry, I just... Impression. Impression. Force, so have we got force here? Yep.
Explosion.
Explosion. Whoa, yeah. If we want to have impact, we need an explosion of faith and wonder. Sound.
New.
Damage. Smash. SM. Oh, yeah. Who else said something?
Revival.
Destruction. Revival. Hey, man, I can't write that fast. What did I hear? Catalyst. Catalyst, somebody who can actually spell. Revival, that'll do anyway. My arm's getting sore. A whole lot of things there, isn't there? A whole lot of images that come to our very thoughts through words, change, punch, influence, presence, impression, life-changing, force, movement, energy, courage, explosion, sound, new, damage, smashing, destruction, revival, catalyst, and a whole heap more that you called out that I couldn't hear or keep up with. Paints a huge picture, doesn't it? Paints a picture of something that is really is happening. You know what? We all have an effect on those we live with. those we work with and those we associate with, even those whom are passing by in our lives. We all directly affect some, we all directly affect everyone we come into contact with, which stands true for us as individuals as well as a whole community of believers. And knowing that, we need to decide what type of impact we make on people. Do we want to be just another face they see or a voice they hear, someone they may not want to be around? Or do we want them to see his impact on our lives, that they would go, hey, what is different about you? You know what? And I ask myself, when I think of the word impact of LVC and a word for us being a year of impact for us, the thing that springs to my mind is this: if we truly are a people that will bring impact, here's a question I think we need to answer. If LVC was no longer here, i.e. us as a physical grouping together or us as individuals, would we be missed? Would we be missed in the community of Waltham Abbey if Lee Valley Church was no longer here? Would we be missed as an individual if we were no longer here as a Christian believer? Would that impact people's lives? A great question to have, a challenge to have in our lives. A little story here of a story I read of a pastor in the States. He was in a hurry after work one day in his office, and he had to get to the go do some shopping for some items. He had to go to his daughter's school to pick her up and then take her home. Then he had to get back to the church for a meeting at the church, and then he had to spend the evening in counseling sessions. And so once he got to the mall where he was had to pick up stuff, he saw an advertisement on a music store window that said two CDs for $9.99. And this guy loved music so much that he decided to take advantage of it. He went in, he picked up two CDs he'd been wanting for a long time, and went to the register to pay for them. He threw down his money while talking to everyone around him. Evidently, that's what pastors are supposed to do when they're in a crowd. Then he picked up his bag and his change and he went out of the mall. And when he threw the bag in the front seat of the car, he noticed for the first time that the girl behind the desk, behind the cash register, had charged him £1.99 instead of $1.99 instead of $9.99 for the CDs that he had bought. His first thought was, oh, God's blessed me, I'm not going to do anything about it. I don't have time to go back and get this sorted out. But a small voice kept saying to him, you don't have time not to. So he goes back in, he stands in the same line until his time comes to talk to the girl behind the cash register once again. He said, hey, look, I'm in a bit of a hurry, but you made a mistake. The sign said $9.99 and you charged me $1.99. Could you correct this so I can get on with my day? She said to him, sir, I didn't make a mistake. He said, you did make a mistake. The sign says $9.99. Here's my receipt, which says $1.99. Can you just correct it so we are all sorted here? No, sir, I didn't make a mistake. He said, well, what do you mean? She said, can I tell you the rest of the story? Will you let me finish the story? He said, yeah, of course I will. The girl said this, for 17 years I've been out of church. Recently my life has been falling apart and I needed to get back into church. I looked around at what was closest to me. I found the name of the church and I went there Sunday and slipped in and sat on the back row. The pastor that day was speaking on the subject of integrity. There had happened to be your church. And when I saw you in line, I wondered if this was something you preached on Sunday or lived on Monday. And I determined to find out. Then she said, sir, I don't even know the right questions to ask, but I know that whatever you need, you've got, I need. And then she began to cry. The manager, who happened to be a Christian, stepped in, took over the register, let the pastor go, and the pastor led her back to the Lord. Do you think she would have darkened the doors of a church again if this pastor had not gone back? What What a challenge. What's going on there, David? Have we got a flat battery or something, have we? You know what? Jesus calls us to be salt and light. Go to this one, eh? Jesus calls us to be salt and light. Throughout the scriptures, it is clear that his intentions have always been that the church would make an impact on the world until the very end of time, and therefore we are still today challenged by Christ to make an impact as believers, individually and then collectively as a local church where we are, and then globally as the church worldwide. A watching world needs to taste and see that the Lord is good. And they can only taste and see because of us being salt and light in the world we live in. People need our preserving influence. They need to see the light of Christ shine through us. We may be the only Bible, we as an individual may be the only Bible people may ever read. Think about that whole idea. We may be the only example of a true Christ follower they may ever meet and experience. You know what? So let's not play around with this. This is not a game. If you're pretending, either stop pretending and get serious about this, or check out now and wait for eternity to deal with the consequences of it all. We need to get serious about this. And I don't mean we need to get serious about this. We need to become committed to this and dedicated to this and take it and do that which the Lord is asking us to do. So the scripture for this is Matthew chapter 5 and verses 13 through 16. I'm going to read it from the Amplified Version. And it says this: "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, its purpose, how can it be made salty? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and walked on by people when the walkways are wet and slippery. You are the light of Christ to the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that you may see your good, that they may see your good deeds and moral excellence, and recognize and honor and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Amen. What a strong bit of scripture. So today I want to talk about salt, about us being salt. This whole bit of scripture talks about being salt and light. Today I want us to talk about being salt. Next week about being the light. So at the beginning of this chapter, of chapter 5, we find that Christ is at the northwestern shore of the Lake of Galilee. He's between Capernaum and Gennesaret. Is that how you say that properly? Gennesaret or something. Oh, I don't know, just call it Waltham Abbey or somewhere. He's on the lower slopes of the Mount of Beatitudes, delivering the sermon, what we know is referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. Here Jesus talks a lot about what we are supposed to do, to extend mercy, to receive comfort, to make peace, etc., etc., with the result being that we will be incredibly blessed. It's really interesting when you go to that site there and you go from the car park area and you walk up to the church that has been built there, you pass these stones, these plaques along the way, and every one of those subjects that Christ talked about, and that there are little plaques that you walk along and go, blessed are those, blessed are those, blessed are those. It's worthwhile going there and just seeing it. It does something to you. It really impacts. Anybody who's seen those? Who's been and seen those? Yeah, those of us who, did you do it last year when we were there? No, you didn't go there. Okay. See, we must face the reality that today it is not so much what we say as believers that counts, but rather what we do and how we act in life, because we are seen by a world that is watching us. We must always consider the question of who we are in Christ, which makes us tick, what makes us different to the rest of the world. And Jesus here very obviously makes two very clear statements, two very clear, emphatic "you" statements that tell us who we are. He says this: you are salt of the earth. You are the light of Christ to the world. That's what we are. We are the salt and we are the light. An ancient Roman official was once heard saying this: there is nothing more useful than salt and sunshine. So let's consider salt. It has lots of redeeming qualities, one being that it makes things way more flavorful. A little bit of salt brings a bit of flavor, doesn't it? Through our lives, we should invite others to taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 34, verse 8. Or we need to consider Colossians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, which says, conduct yourself with wisdom in your interactions with outsiders, non-believers. Make the most of every opportunity, treating it as something precious. Let your speech at all times be gracious and pleasant, seasoned with salt, so that you will know how to answer each one who questions you. You know what? Salty Christians leave people wanting more of the gospel, more of God's love. Salt adds flavor. In ancient Rome, what do we got going on here, David? Are we still working? Okay. In ancient Rome, it was salt, not money, that was used for commerce or trading often. The soldiers who worked for the Roman Empire got a handful of salt in return as their payment each day. This is where the common saying of being worth one salt comes from. This whole idea, hence the word salary, derives from that whole salarium. It was called a salarium that they were given. It was their payment. That's where we have a salary today. It originated with the idea of salt, a handful of salt. The ancient world prized salt most for its preservative. After all, this is before refrigeration. You know, we have our fridges and our freezers and our canned goods, etc., to preserve things. And when we live as Christians, we help preserve the world. We make it a better place. Have you realized that about yourself? You as a Christian make this world a better place. Anybody thought about that, a whole idea? In your workplace, you as a Christian make that workplace a better place. You two girls on the checkouts at Tesco's, you make Tesco's a better place.
That's pushing it.
I'm being recorded here, so I can't say anything. Whatever you do in your lives and your situations, you make it a better place because you are there. Those of you who are school teachers, you make your schools better places because you are Christian believers. You know, our son Josh, as a Christian policeman, he makes what he does better because he is a Christian believer. Whatever you may do, it is better because you are a believer. Oh, I'm just going off to work again, I suppose. I'm going to work because you know what? I make a difference there. I make a difference where I go. Are you still at Tesco's as well? Are you still at Tesco's too, Loretta? No, you've gone, okay. Did you know that it was Christians who first formed the first literary programs on the streets of the UK? They called these reading programs for the poor Sunday school, and guess what? They used the Bible as the text that they learned to read from. Christians built the first public hospitals. Christians built the first colleges and the first children's homes. Until the 1930s, churches alone cared for the downtrodden of society. And still today, Christians lead the way in charitable giving, not just in this country, but all around the world. We lead the way. Historically, salt has been an important role in people's lives. So it was used as a preservative. They rubbed salt into the meat to preserve it. Of all things to help preserve the world, I don't know what I was saying there. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord does not delay. Oh, I know what I was going to say. Just ignore just those few words I've just said. But here's another way we act as a preservative, a more personal, individual way. We share our faith with others, whether in word or deed. We partner with God to save some people from the path to hell. We help preserve their souls because you know what? Every single person matters. Everyone is precious to God. And so that's why Jesus asked this question. If the salt has lost its taste and purpose, how can it be salty? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and walked on by people. Puzzling question, you know. Actually, when you think about it and look at it all, it's a really puzzling question because salt in its pure form, pure sodium chloride, can never ever actually lose its saltiness, evidently. Cannot lose its saltiness. It's impossible chemically for it to lose its saltiness. It has been said that in this instance, Jesus was referring to the polluted salt that came from the Dead Sea. It was mixed with minerals, and it loses its effectiveness over time. People would just throw it on pathways to kill the weeds, just as we do gritting in the wintertime. You know, the stuff we use for grit in the wintertime is not really very, you're not going to put that on your dinner at night, are you? But it's got salt in it. But maybe Jesus' question is a rhetorical one. He's not looking for an answer, but he's using the question to make a clear statement, as I'm sure he really does know what salt, that salt can never lose its saltiness. Maybe he's saying that true believers, those who truly do follow him, they will always be salty. That's why we should never ever give up, and we should never ever give in. We should keep on pressing on and forging on no matter what is going on. So Jesus reminds us to live salty lives, helping preserve our world and people who need him. We are the salt of the earth. You and I, you are. Each one of us are the salt of the earth. Today, salt, I guess, is considered a bit of an enemy in many ways, and in some ways, where our health's concerned. How many times have you heard someone warning, don't put too much salt on your food? Anybody, for those who grew up when we were young during the 60s and our mums didn't really understand that, and they put the saucepan on the stove and went, salt. And then boiled the veggies until the colour of the water became the colour that the veggie used to be when it first started. I always wondered what carrots actually tasted like. Because the mum used to cook the carrots until the water went orange. And it was salty, yeah, it was salty. You know, medical profession tells us there is a number of health issues that are a direct result of too much salt and intake in processed foods, along with sugars and a whole host of things. Jesus tells us, yet he tells us, we are the salt of the world. So could this mean that as believers we are meant to be the preservatives of the world? Are we the ones that should be holding forth a standard in the world that we live in that actually keeps the world on some sort of even keel? Imagine what would happen if there was no longer the moral guidance that has come from Christianity. What would imagine if there were no absolutes in the world? What are some of them that humanity needs to live by today, those absolutes? You shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, you shall not covet. You know what? There's a whole lot of good stuff in those Ten Commandments. Why would he call us preservatives? Well, at some stage, we all at some stage had someone who shared with us the reality of the love of Christ. Perhaps discuss with us the reasons why we should become a believer. They were the salt, or they were the preservative of the earth at that time. They did not save you, but they just carried his love to us. What else do we use salt for? A spice that adds flavor. We're to spice up this world. We're to make it tastier. We're to help Jesus spice up the world. We're here to bring the message, his message, to the rest of the world. Anybody spent much time in salt water? Swimming, yeah. I was very fortunate enough to, you know, Bo and I were very fortunate enough to grow up in New Zealand, very close to the coast. So I spent a bit of time surfing, but I spent a whole lot of time diving. I was a very keen snorkeler and had my scuba ticket when I was 14 years of age. So I spent a lot of time in salt water. And there's the one thing you want when you come back up after a dive and you've been under the water for a while and your mouth's covered and you're breathing in and you're getting salt in your mouth and stuff, you want to guzzle down fresh water because you are thirsty as heck. You really are very thirsty, and chuck some sweets in your mouth to sweeten your mouth up again. It's safe to say that we're here to facilitate an atmosphere that causes people to thirst after the ways of God. You know what? One of our very purposes as believers that we need not forget is this. We should be here to actually make people thirsty for the things of God. Non-believers are to desire or should desire what we have. Our lives are to impact people in such a way that they want what we possess. You know, and as a local church, we were never meant to be just a group of people that people could just pass by and they would not notice that we were here, but rather we are supposed to be an active influence of the lives of people around us and that we connect with. If we lose our ability to create thirst in others, well, let's run a bit of a list here of benefits of salt. It preserves, it purifies, it flavors, it melts ice. We're going to find that out in the next few months, aren't we? Works quietly away, it cleanses, it has a lingering influence, it seasons in many ways, it creates thirst, it holds water, it irritates when it's necessary, it heals, it's an inexpensive but valuable commodity. We use it or it loses its effects. It's easy to procure, it's universally available, it works at all temperatures and it's created by God. Let us ensure that we as Christian believers do not lose our saltiness, our influence, or our impact. Let's ensure and make sure that we stay in that place of being people of great and wonderful impact in the lives of people around us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, we give you thanks. Can we have the worship team up, please?